there you go. There you go. Jey Uso breaks Sami Zayn's heart, and the road to WrestleMania 39 is pretty much set now. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos for the Unified Tag Team Championships. Now, at the end of Raw tonight, you saw Cody Rhodes come to the rescue of Sami Zayn. That is because, not just yet, Friday, maybe next Monday on Raw, that is when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will finally form the allegiance, and they will do whatever is necessary to take down the Usos and the Bloodline at WrestleMania. I don't, put it this way, if you looked at the clock, I don't think any of us expected at 10:58 p.m. that Jey Uso was going to turn on Sami Zayn, but kind of gave you a little bit of Godfather vibes. Remember, Fredo, you broke my heart. Remember the kiss by Al Pacino? Only difference is, if you think about it, you know, Sami Zayn didn't fuck up. So it's almost like maybe Fredo ended up kissing Al Pacino, and Fredo was the one that took Al Pacino down. It's not the way it went down in The Godfather, but totally unexpected tonight. If anyone out there that thinks it was rushed, please, because I'm already seeing people throwing it out. They're like, oh, it just feels so abrupt. Oh, I mean, people got used to the scenic route. Regarding this storyline, we don't have many. Listen, we had this discussion over the weekend. In fact, I think it was last night that we said either tonight or Friday at the latest, you were going to see Jey Uso break Sami Zayn's heart. It was perfect. You know, it was exactly what was needed. You know, listen, you know, Paul Heyman just did an interview, and I want to give you the name of the interview, the place where he did it. It was the SI Media Podcast, and he talked about Sami Zayn, gave a lot of compliments to Sami Zayn, and I'm going to bring this up now because it has to do with Jey Uso as well, and maybe even Jimmy Uso, and if you think about it, probably everybody involved in this storyline. Paul Heyman admits that never in their wildest dreams did they ever think that Sami would get this far with the Bloodline storyline. Not a knock on Sami Zayn at all. But he said that there were times where they gave Sami Zayn crumbs, not intentionally, but he had small little moments, and he took those and he ran with it. And, you know, Paul Heyman also discusses, like, you know, you look at Sami Zayn's innocent reaction to some of the things that went down with the Bloodline when he got the shirt and, you know, a few things like that connects with the fans. But he said something in the end that, you know, I hate to use this comparison, but I think most of you will understand why I say this. Have you ever seen, it's now a TikTok video, but have you ever seen the clip of Paul Heyman on stage doing a Q&A, and he's asked about fans who think that Chris Benoit should still be in the Hall of Fame. And in about 90 seconds, Paul Heyman just totally destroys the argument. You know, not being, you know, terrible or vicious, but just putting it in a way that you really cannot argue with it. All right? Paul Heyman, in this interview, talking about Sami Zayn, said something that honestly, in about 90 seconds time, he totally shredded the argument that Sami Zayn should be facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, or at minimum a three-way. When he talks about Sami Zayn, he says that him losing to Roman Reigns, this is very important, him losing to Roman Reigns is, the end result is now his worth is far more, has a bigger fan base, and sells more merchandise than ever before. In defeat, Sami, remember when we said that night that in defeat, Sami actually won? But Paul Heyman also said another sentence right after that. He says, his loss to Roman Reigns, Sami is worth more than he was before, has a bigger fan base, sells more merchandise. That's the whole object of what we do. At the end of the day, WWE, it's not about cake and ice cream. That as long, it's not just as long as everybody goes home happy, that's all that matters. Of course, that's a big part of it. You satisfy your customer is likely to return. But the idea is, this is a business. WWE wants your money. WWE wants you to buy merch, go to events, you know, buy subscriptions. WWE wants your business. They don't just, listen, of course they want the appreciation and the compliments online. You know, but when everybody is complimenting, but people aren't actually spending the money, you know, there's a big difference there. That's what this business is about. In the end, it's about maximizing. It's about getting over as much and making money. And that's why the whole argument with Sami Zayn, in defeat, he won. Being stabbed in the heart tonight by Jey Uso is going to mean even more at WrestleMania when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win those tag titles. And I say one other thing. You look at this entire Bloodline storyline. Is there anybody who you feel... Now, listen, it's been a couple of years. So, obviously, you look at individuals from a couple of years ago to now, obviously, there's progression. But when you look at this storyline, Jey Uso, his worth has... I don't even think you put a number on it. Jey Uso has arguably turned out, in my opinion... And trust me, I'm a bigger fan of Sami Zayn, and I'm a fan of Roman Reigns now, and I love everything that has gone down. But I think truly, people would make the argument that if you had to choose an MVP in this storyline, it's got to be Jey Uso. Because Jey Uso, at odds with Sami Zayn, is part of why the fans felt even more sympathy for Sami Zayn. When Jey Uso suddenly aligned with Sami Zayn, you know, something that we never in a million years would ever think would happen in this story. And it was believable. They ended up making sense out of it. Jey Uso sold it like $1 million. Now, Jey Uso, because it's about family. It's about family. It's about blood in the end. You know, yes, family fights, but in the end, family is everything. I think in the end, Jey Uso arguably is the MVP. And I'm not taking anything away from Roman Reigns or Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso, listen, give props to Jimmy Uso. You remember early on with that drinking arrest. And the next week, he's in, you know, putting his storyline even deeper. Remember a couple of years ago? Do you remember our conversations? Like, wow, you know, it's strange. A lot of people at that time were very, very angry that WWE did not penalize Jimmy Uso, did not suspend him, did not take him off TV. A lot of people felt like they didn't do anything. But as we discussed, as months went by, that was the last opportunity for Jimmy Uso. It wasn't about failing wellness violations. It was his last shot. It's either shape up or ship out. That's it. And give Jimmy Uso a hell of a lot of credit for turning his life around, you know, and this storyline. I mean, you could only imagine the pressure, but the one thing that was great about this storyline, and this is probably the biggest ingredient with any good storyline. Seriously, think about this. You think of any spectacular storyline, even one that involves a faction, one of the most important ingredients is that everybody involved are having fun. And it comes across that these guys are having a time of their life. When we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, when Sami Zayn chair-bashed Roman Reigns, and then you heard the crowd, fuck you, Roman, fuck you, Roman. Remember Roman looking around, probably saying to himself, we got him. We got him. This is exactly what we were gunning for. You know, that's what it's all about. These guys, it comes off like they're having fun. Sure, sure. In storyline, we're not supposed to think that Jey Uso and Sami Zayn are feuding with each other. You know, we talked about it even in AEW. People refuse to accept the fact. But some people that MJF is feuded with, he is friends with, you know, and that asshole from the Jacksonville Jaguars putting that ridiculous photo up at that time with the stadium stampede, whatever that shit was at the time. You know, we don't need to be reminded that this is entertainment. But these guys come across on TV that they are having fun. And when you have fun at your job, it makes it easier to do. It doesn't even feel like a job sometimes. I mean, these guys travel up and down the road. They are out there to please. I mean, you see these little videos that are popping up on social media of Roman Reigns trolling little kids at ringside, giving him the eye multiple times during the matches and, you know, still being a heel, but connecting. You know, little things like that. It's not like, oh, let's make the kids happy especially. No. These guys come off like having fun. When the fans at ringside were trolling Roman Reigns with Aquaman, you know, Roman Reigns having some fun with the fans back. Every single member in this group are coming across that they are having fun. And when you are having fun, I mean, you can't get any better than that. Doesn't it feel like even Brock Lesnar is having fun? Look at Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali. What do you think, friends? What do you think? Do you like the repackaging of Mustafa Ali? What do you think? You know, I saw people tonight, oh, that's Vince McMahon all over it. You know what's going on right now with the Vince McMahon stuff? And by the way, Vince McMahon was at Raw tonight. Unfortunately, I wrote the truth online. The truth is not sexy. The truth is not controversial. People would rather make you think that Vince is back to fuck up creative so it could piss off everybody and then you get 1,000 people that'll either comment on your post or show up on your podcast or something so everybody could say, fuck you, Vince. You couldn't fucking stay away. Fuck you, Vince. And meanwhile, Vince McMahon there today had nothing to do with creative at all. But the majority out there don't want to hear that truth. But Vince McMahon was there today. And in case you haven't figured it out, all this Vince McMahon nonsense. Oh, the Brock Lesnar, that's Vince, is all over that. Look at Mustafa Ali, the repackaging. That's Vince. This is the new Blame Russo. Remember TNA days? Everything that sucked in TNA. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. As years went by, you would find out. You know, listen, I'm a fan of Vince Russo. I have been a fan of his for decades. Yes, he has done a lot of crappy shit in wrestling. I'm not going to deny that. But he got blamed for everything that went wrong. And as years went by, you would find out, oh, he actually didn't have anything to do with this. He didn't have, well, he still sucks. Look at all the things he did. Vince McMahon now, this is the Blame Russo. It's just a different Vince that they're going after. But Mustafa Ali, what do you think of the repackaging? You know, Mustafa Ali, I tell you the honest truth. I don't care if Vince McMahon came up with this. I don't care if Ali came up with this. I don't care if fucking Bruce Pritchard came up with this. I like it. Because Mustafa Ali is coming across naturally like he looks like he's having fun. He posted a social media video earlier. I'm going to show you a video. Now, unfortunately, I cannot play the music that Mustafa Ali posted because I would get hammered on YouTube for it. So I figured, you know what, why not? We could use some different music instead.
Just follow my voice. You don't really have a choice. And pull up your pants and do the Muscle Man dance. Now wiggle your behind.
He looks like he's having fun. He doesn't look like he's embarrassing himself. All right, that's enough. You know who he reminds me of? You know who he reminds me of? Older fans will appreciate this. He reminds me of the Vertebreaker, Sugar Shane Helms. Not the Hurricane, Sugar Shane Helms. Tell me that isn't Shane Helms from WCW when he was in Three Count. That is Shane Helms. Honestly, you put him side by side. He looks like he's having fun. That's listen, I know the popular thing is to complain and shit and bash things. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, when we're having fun, I think that feels good. You know, there's an old phrase, losing, what is it? Losing is worse than, or losing taste worse than winning. I don't know. I don't remember. You know the phrase. I'm just, someone in the chat's going to correct me on it. I can never get it right. Someone in the chat will correct me, but, you know, the losing, the negative is what seems to stand out more than anything. But I think at the end of the day, especially going into WrestleMania season, coming off of AEW Revolution, which ended up being strong from top to bottom, you know, I think right now, I think it's pretty damn good to be a wrestling fan right now. So, I don't know. You let me know what you think about Mustafa Ali's change, his repackaging. I'm fine with it. I don't think he's embarrassing himself. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But with that, by the way, congratulations to Solo Sikoa. In case you're not aware of it, last week he got married. I'll show you a couple of photos. There you go. He got married to his bride. What's her name? Do I have her name? I think I do have her name. Her name is Almia Williams. They got married last week. That is one of the pictures of them with the family. There you go. Here's another picture. Them with the Usos. I couldn't find any pictures of him with Roman Reigns. But, hey, just look at it like this. We're getting to see Solo Sikoa smile. Doesn't happen all that often. And by the way, have you noticed this weekend, you know, Solo Sikoa, a little bit of history. You know, these are the first two singles losses since he's been on the main roster. Now, Solo Sikoa has not been pinned yet. But over the weekend at a house show, he lost to Kevin Owens on a DQ. And tonight, he also lost to Kevin Owens on a DQ. So Solo Sikoa now getting a couple of losses under his belt, but he still has not been pinned. He hasn't been pinned. But you know what? Congratulations to Solo Sikoa. And apparently he's not even on a honeymoon yet. No honeymoon yet. And look, it's WrestleMania season, so no days off when you think about it. All right. In no particular order, let's talk about a couple other things tonight with Raw. Because Raw tonight, as far as a push to WrestleMania, this might have been the best Raw in years. In years when it comes to pushing WrestleMania. You know, we've had go-home shows, you know, for WrestleMania. And night afters are different. But, you know, this tonight progressed so many big matches. And the one that obviously everybody is talking about is John Cena and Austin Theory. The worst kept secret. I even saw a couple of websites tonight before the Raw trying to tease that, oh, Austin Theory is calling out a newcomer on the roster for WrestleMania. I'm like, come on, man. Stop teasing people with clickbait. We know who his opponent is going to be. But, you know, John Cena comes out, and before he can really start talking, Austin Theory comes out, interrupts him. Austin Theory wants a match against John Cena at WrestleMania. Austin Theory, you know, really being a huge fan of John Cena growing up is legit. And John Cena said that a lot of people call Austin Theory a John Cena wannabe. And, you know, we've pointed out over the last several months that Austin Theory has used a lot of John Cena's phrases, a little bit of mannerisms. And John Cena brings up that right now you're in the ruthless aggression era, and that almost got me fired. That almost got him fired. And he says to Austin Theory that, no, he will not face him at WrestleMania. And he says Austin Theory has one of the greatest names in the history of wrestling, besides Austin Theory. Because in theory, everybody in that building tonight or any other night should be there to see Austin Theory. And they're not. They don't believe in you. No one cares about you. You're wasting our time. And he basically gives Austin Theory an ultimatum. He says, on behalf of Boston, we'd like to give you a gift. Shut up. Turn around. Get out of this ring. And we will let you leave in one piece. And, you know, Austin Theory listen, we talked about this. You know, you got to be on your A game when you go head to head with John Cena in a promo. Last week on the History Show was the week that Cena and The Rock had that back and forth. And The Rock, very, very rare, I mean, outside of Rocky Maivia, very rare that The Rock is ever rattled in the ring cutting a promo, and that motherfucker was rattled when John Cena exposed the cheat notes on his arm. Now, when we preview this week's History Show, oh my God, this week's History Show, and it's only about 2.5 hours, but some of the moments are huge, huge. But Austin Theory now is given the mic. And Austin Theory, now, Austin Theory said a few words earlier on, but now John Cena has really given it. Now Austin Theory has got to come back. And Austin Theory comes back and takes a shot at John Cena's thinning hair. And he says, I'm not going anywhere, just like that bald spot on your head. So John Cena takes his hat off, shows the bald spot, and he says, I'm proud of the senior circuit, baby, baby. And then Austin Theory says, your shirt says never give up. But John, are you giving up? The hat says respect, but where's your respect for these fans, John? Where's the hustle? Where's the loyalty? Where's the respect? And then Austin Theory says to the crowd, do you want to see me versus John Cena at WrestleMania? And everybody is yelling yes, and he tells them all to shut up because John Cena already said no. So John Cena, once again, comes back and starts going after Austin Theory and says, I'd rather have a bald spot on my head than to have fake crowd cheers and chants piped in during my matches. Ooh, that fucking hurts. And that is legit. Now, you may, in defense, say, well, Austin Theory, very young on his main roster career, you know, it took some time. When he had the briefcase, you remember when he lost the briefcase and you had all these numbnuts on social media saying, oh, you know, how the fuck could they do that? Wow, that was awful, this and that. And that night, challenge me if I'm lying, that night I said that's the greatest thing that could have happened to Austin Theory. The minute that motherfucker lost the briefcase, Austin Theory's true career push began. Everybody was focusing on that 3-34 record. He was one win above Carmella. When Carmella had that briefcase, Carmella's record was like 2-34. Austin Theory lost 90-plus percentage of his matches, and he was not losing. You know, people were saying, oh, you know, that was Vince's guy, and now Triple H is a creative, and, you know, they don't believe in Austin Theory, and he should be released. Look where he is now. Now do you realize that Austin Theory is in the future and could be, probably would not come close to John Cena level, but you could see he is the heir apparent for one of those main spots in the future. You could see it. So now Austin Theory, he's going off on Cena. And, you know, Cena, you know, responds with the fake piped-in chants and crowd reaction, which is spectacular. And he says, I didn't say no to you because I don't have loyalty, respect, or, you know, the hustle. I said no to you because you're not ready. And Cena says something that really is tremendous. And I guarantee you, some of you out there are flashing back to John Cena versus Roman Reigns. It certainly feels in a lot of ways similar. John Cena says, if you lose against me at WrestleMania, you lose everything. But if you beat me at WrestleMania, you also lose everything. Because the next night, you do not have me to fall back on. And though that crowd, these passionate, dedicated WWE fans will eat you up and spit you out. You are not ready to be in that position. So John Cena, you know, goes back to the crowd, toys with them a little bit. Look, I'm getting old. I can't hear you all that well. Do you want to see Austin Theory versus John Cena at WrestleMania? And the crowd overwhelmingly is saying yes. And the match is set. And after the match is set, John Cena leaves the ring. He goes on the rampway. and he addresses the Boston fans again. Actually, before he even leaves the ring, he tells Austin Theory, he's looking at Austin Theory. And, you know, Austin Theory has the championship title draped around his shoulder the entire time. But he looks at Austin Theory and he says, good luck, kid, at WrestleMania, because you don't have it here, you don't have it here, you don't have it there. And it was funny because Austin Theory was looking down at his nuts before it, and John Cena with a little, like, tap. And then John Cena says, you know, that last one you should especially work on. So John Cena leaves the ring, and we think that's the end of it. He goes on a rampway, and he says, you know, Boston deserves to see someone who is ready for WrestleMania because you're not ready for WrestleMania. And John Cena brings out Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes and John Cena sharing a little bit of a hug. There's your seal of approval. Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania, and spectacular, spectacular moment. Loved every minute of it. And, yeah, Devin, thank you for your 25 months being a channel member. He points out that WWE, you know, inputting the crowd noise as well. Listen, that's been going on for decades. And WWE is not the only one that does it. ECW is probably the only promotion, big promotion, that didn't do it because technologically they just didn't. They didn't need to, if you really think about it. But they didn't even have the capabilities of doing that. But all promotions do it. AEW does it. WCW does it. TNA does it. WWE, or Impact Wrestling, I should say. But to point it out publicly, you know, that is a nice cheap shot. But the back and forth was tremendous. And, you know, it did go a little longer than expected. It did break into the women's segment later on. Hopefully people don't lose their shit, you know, like last time. Got cut a little bit short. Trish Stratus really didn't get an opportunity to say all that much. She was interrupted by Damage Control's music almost immediately. And they had the confrontation. And, you know, this match is going down at WrestleMania. You know, props to all the people out there that are still insisting that we were going to get Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler getting a tag title match at WrestleMania. You know, they moved from Kai and Sky to say, oh, no, they're going to face Lita and Becky Lynch. Yeah, sure, sure. Then what the fuck is Trish Stratus returning for? What, Trish versus Bayley one-on-one? It's not a bad match, but no. This was about, you know, a memorable moment. You know, Hall of Famers history. We don't need to discuss it again, but every single person in that match, this is something that they're going to take with them and cherish for the rest of their lives. They're going to bottle that moment, and they can never, no one could ever take it away. But, you know, the Cena Austin Theory segment went a little bit longer than was planned. So we'll get to Seth Rollins and Logan Paul in a minute, but I definitely want to mention this. As we said earlier, Vince McMahon was backstage at Raw tonight. And look, I posted it early on social media. I DM'd a friend of mine that I trust that actually works for WWE. You know, it's weird. I get DMs from people who claim to work from WWE. And I'm like, why do you do that? It's just, there's like a weirdness level to it. Hey, I got a scoop for you. And then I'm like, yeah, what's the scoop? And I don't even want to repeat half the shit that is said to me. And sometimes I think people are intentionally trying to sabotage me on the shows, but some of these people are really, really legit, you know, what they say, and I'm like, oh, my God. But Vince McMahon was at Raw tonight. There was three reasons why Vince McMahon was there. And I'm sorry about the Trump photo. I had to grab, like, a Vince McMahon picture from my library quickly for tonight. So, you know, my apologies, but listen, there's three reasons why Vince McMahon was there tonight. I don't give a shit who it triggers in the wrestling media world. I don't give a shit how angry, you know, some fans get online. Vince McMahon has 84% voting power and is a majority owner of a multi-billion dollar company that's having an insane event, WrestleMania, two nights, making crazy revenue. And in May, they're going to Saudi Arabia. Vince McMahon is not barred from the building. This isn't AEW. This isn't other places. Vince McMahon has to be there once in a while. He shows up, and you see the cake and ice cream crew online are losing their shit. That's why maybe putting the Trump picture was a good thing to do, because, you know, when Trump used to be on TV, you'd see what would happen. I mean, I don't blame people for being angry, but people losing their shit because Vince is there. Vince was not there to fuck up creative. Vince was there for three reasons. Number one, WrestleMania 39 is happening in less than a month, and some things needed to be discussed today. Number two, he is very, very close friends with John Cena, and I guarantee you, you will read news reports tomorrow that after Raw tonight or after John Cena's appearance, that Vince McMahon and John Cena went out, maybe got something to eat, went for coffee. Remember Vince's birthday party in Manhattan last year? Who showed up? Pat McAfee, The Undertaker, Steve Austin, John Cena. The funny thing is, if you want to see something interesting, if you Google, do a Google image search, type in Vince McMahon, John Cena. Okay. Of course, you'll get a bunch of pictures of Vince McMahon and John Cena, but you will get something else. You will get a plethora of photos of Vince McMahon outside of wrestling with various people within WWE. And when you look at these photos as they pop up periodically, what you will notice is it's almost the same people over and over and over and over and over again. Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Steve Austin. I mean, just over and over and over again. And when you look at it like that, and I didn't even notice, but I was looking for a good photo with Cena and Vince McMahon. I couldn't find one. But as I'm scrolling through it, I'm like, wow, you know, this is interesting. When you do that specific search, you will see repeatedly, you know, the group. And you could see, like, who is in Vince McMahon's inner circle. John Cena is one of them. So that is another reason why Vince McMahon was there tonight, to see John Cena. And they were definitely getting together after Raw tonight. The third reason actually has to do with Saudi Arabia and executives. Tonight was not, oh, let's meet with Comcast and have them sit front row and see what it's like to see Raw, or TV negotiations and like, oh, he was meeting with executives who were, that wasn't that tonight. But Saudi Arabia is happening in May, and there's a couple of executive things that need to be done. And Vince McMahon was discussing that today. You know, remember, as much as you may hate Vince McMahon, as much of a pig he is outside of wrestling, towards women, towards, you know, his wife, his family, whatever, you know, the guy still owns the majority of WWE. And the idea that, you know, you almost feel like security is going to escort him out of the building, it's nonsense. It's nuts. And shame on the people online that because he's there tonight, they're immediately saying, oh, he's there to fuck up creative and everything else. To me, that's childish baby shit, seriously. You know, and just because something happens and you don't like, too many DQ finishes, Mustafa Ali acting like a member of Three Count, or, you know, other things, you know, all the comedy stuff that we got last week, you know, stop acting like Triple H is some outsider that hasn't been part of the WWE, Vince McMahon, McMahon family regime for decades. You know, when I look back at the history shows, when I put up the photo previews every week, I'm reminded over and over and over again some of the awful, awful segments that Triple H was involved in. And, you know, people try to come off today like, oh, well, that Triple H back then is not the Triple H now. Says who? Like, you break bread with him? Like, of course he's a married man now and he's older and he's got kids and he's, you know, of course he changes his views. And yes, the world we live in now is much different than it was 20 years ago. But, you know, you just look at all of these storylines that he was in. The over-the-top sexual stuff, making fun of, you know, people's medical conditions. You know, even the last week was the anniversary of him and Booker T. We don't even know, need to go there. You know, just look it up. And I'm not throwing shade on Triple H. All I'm saying is stop trying to make it seem like he came in and is intentionally, whatever Vince McMahon would do, we do the opposite. Whatever Vince would do here, do the opposite. Why? Why? There's a reason why WWE is worth what it is today. There's a reason why WWE for the last, you know, bunch of years has actually made crazy-ass money, whether you like it or not. They didn't just scratch off a lottery ticket and make money. You know, it's not like someone died the last couple of years and left Vince, you know, a couple of hundred million. You know, you got to call it like it is, whether you like it or not. But Vince McMahon there today, business needs to be done, whether you like it or not. And that's why he was there. So, all right, let's talk a few moments about Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. Now, The Miz was moderating this. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, but, you know, I guess they just wanted a little bit of a diversion, you know, not just have straight up one-on-one, especially since we needed Logan Paul to be chicken shit and cheap shot Seth Rollins when he wasn't looking. But that is the attire. Some people said that Seth Rollins looked like Dr. Seuss, Cat in a Hat. That's a good one. I have no argument there. But Seth Rollins, Logan Paul, having a confrontation. Miz is moderating it. Seth Rollins comes out. And let me tell you something. If I had enough time tonight, I would have capped Boston serenading Seth Rollins. I would have looped it. In fact, I'm almost tempted. You know when the crowd goes, oh, I'm tempted on my YouTube channel to loop that for about 24 hours. Have you ever gone on a YouTube channel and it'll be like maybe like 18 hours of like a phrase just over and over and over and over again? Like something that'll be looped for about 8 hours straight and it just like, and people click on it. Anyway, I'm thinking about making a video, which is just audio, obviously, and it's 24 hours of just that sound effect over and over and over again. But Boston serenaded Seth Rollins tonight like nothing that we have seen before. I mean, look, buildings have shown their love and appreciation for Seth Rollins, but this went on and on and on. And it got to the point where even Logan Paul is like, look, you know, this segment has a time limit. Shut up. Unfortunately, that kind of does the adverse effect. You know, you're a heel and you tell the fans to do something, they do the opposite. I.e., yesterday at Revolution, you know, they were passing out a piece of paper to the fans. Don't call the guns the ass boys. They want you to do it more. They want you to troll the guns even more. That's why that's put out there. When you're a heel, you put in a request. The fans psychologically are supposed to do the opposite. So Logan Paul is in the ring. They're serenading. The fans are chanting, Logan sucks. Later on, they're chanting, fuck you, Logan. Fuck you, Logan. And it's not being censored out. You know, WWE lowered the volume a little bit, but it wasn't censored out. And Seth Rollins, he wants to just beat the shit out of Logan Paul. And they're throwing insults both ways. Logan Paul saying to Seth Rollins, I'm on my way in. You're on your way out. What I accomplished in 1 year, it took you 20 years to do. I'm better at this than you are. And if you were me, you wouldn't like me either. So Seth Rollins calls Logan Paul a fraud. He calls him a coward. We had multiple references to dumpster fires tonight. Interesting term, because we use dumpster fire. I'm not saying anybody at WWE is tuning in, but I like the term dumpster fire. I think it should be used more in pro wrestling. Chelsea Green called, no, I think it was Carmella that called Adam Pearce the dumpster fire tonight, and Seth Rollins called Logan Paul a dumpster fire tonight. So he calls him a fraud, a coward, a dumpster fire. He says, you know, we don't want you in our house, period. That's it. He challenges Logan Paul to a fight. The Miz says, no, no, no. That's why he's there, to prevent confrontation. And Logan Paul says, listen, if I want to kick Seth Rollins' ass in Boston, I will do it. And the crowd thinks we're going to get, you know, like a little impromptu. But, you know, Logan Paul wants a bigger stage. It's almost like the Brock Lesnar storyline. Give me more money. Give me a bigger stage. Give me a bigger platform. And yeah, I'll kick your ass, Seth Rollins. So the Miz has an idea. Why don't they face each other at WrestleMania? And Seth Rollins is saying to the Miz, you can actually do this? Yeah, yeah, I have pull. I'm the host of WrestleMania. All right. So you know, so you could talk somebody in the back. Yeah, yeah, let's do it. All right. And the Miz, you know, storyline, goofy. He's getting ready to leave the ring to run to the back. Hey, let's do it. And Seth Rollins, you know, nails him. And then Logan Paul cheap shots Seth Rollins out of nowhere. Almost hit the curb stomp, but punched him. Knocked him right on his ass. Seth Rollins selling it like $1 million. And Logan Paul says, when you wake up, let me know about WrestleMania. And by the way, bye-bye, bitch. So that's the phrase going back and forth now. But they had a tremendous confrontation. Tonight, we had some epic confrontations. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso without saying a word. When you saw Jimmy and Jey Uso in the ring, admit it. You're looking at the time and it's 10:58 and you're like, okay, you know, this stare down, well, it's like 10:56 actually, and this stare down is going a little bit longer. And Jay looks very confused. Like, it's almost like, you know, you thought probably that he was going to rip off Jimmy Uso's shirt. And he's just looking at Jimmy Uso, and Jimmy Uso's got this look on his face like, you know, like, you're my brother. Like, why, you know, like Jimmy could sense that Jimmy Uso was not returning to the bloodline. And during the night, Paul Heyman kind of trolling Jimmy Uso. And he's saying to him, like, tonight, you're the one. You're the one that's going to lay out Sami Zayn. You're the one that's going to eliminate the problem so the tribal chief does not have to. And then Sami Zayn will be eliminated from this problem. And by the way, you must have this unbelievable pressure on you. Because you're the one that needs to get Jay back in the bloodline. And if Jay is not back in the bloodline by Friday, the tribal chief is not going to take it out on or blame it on Solo Sikoa. He's going to blame it on Jimmy Uso. So, as Paul Heyman is saying this, Jimmy Uso looks like he's shitting bricks, like, oh, fuck. You know, but towards that end, when Jay and Jimmy are in the ring and they're just looking at each other, and Jay is got this confused, angry, hurt. You know, if you want to compare it to a bad movie, well, a great movie, but, you know, it's outdated now. New Jack City. You remember with Wesley Snipes towards the end? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. And he shoots the guy in the head. You know, it kind of looked at like that moment where Jey Uso, you just needed, let me tell you something. If Jey Uso, seriously, if Jey Uso would have been able to get himself to cry a tear, get a tear, that would have been, I know it sounds trivial, but that probably would have been the most epic moment of this storyline. I mean, we've had some, but if he would have been able, looking at his brother in the ring with that confused look, if he could somehow get himself, and, you know, that is a talent that people do. You know, that's something with acting that a lot of people don't know. Like, when you're live, you know, like in movies, it could be staged, obviously, but when you're live and you got to create a tear, if you got to do like a segment, remember Vince McMahon with Triple H? When Vince McMahon was alleviated of his duties, I love you, Pop. You know, they truly started crying in the ring. And, you know, that's not easy to do. And what some people will do is they'll think of a loved one who has passed. They'll think of a pet, you know, that they had who had died, they had to put down. And that gets you in that mood. I mean, you know, I'm not going to make myself cry live on the show. But if I start thinking of really sad things, yeah, I could probably get myself to tears. It's happened a few times here. Not to entertain people. It was just real emotion. But, you know, that confrontation tonight, John Cena and Austin Theory, Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. You know, the women's was a little bit rushed for obvious reasons, but it did enough. It did what it needed to do. You know, because later on in the night, as I showed you earlier, Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, and Lita come out. Before Trish could really say anything, Damage Control's music hits. They have a stare down in the ring. We see the WrestleMania logo in one of the camera shots, and then, you know, the veterans. Could we call the Lita, Trish, and Becky the veterans? I'm not trying to insult them, but Team Extreme, didn't they use a different term last week? Well, anyway, you know, the women's tag team champions and Trish, they got the best of Dakota Kai and Io Sky, and Bayley was left in the ring by herself. That did look kind of corny. You know, obviously, Bayley needed to help it enhance that a little bit. Bayley, like, running right into Lita's punches and Trish's punches and Becky, and then Bayley goes out of Dodge. And there's your six-woman tag team match at WrestleMania. So tonight did an incredible job of building big matches for WrestleMania. Yes, Trish Stratus looks outstanding. You know, she's not extremely old. And look, I hate to use this as a cheap plug, but I'm going to do it anyway. And this week, I don't even need to show a synopsis. You know, because the last couple of weeks, I actually showed the synopsis for it. But this week, I'm only going to show you some photo previews of this week in wrestling history. And as you can see, it is a wild week. And a lot of these audio moments you will hear. You won't just hear me talking about it. This is this week in history where Vince McMahon made Trish Stratus strip in the ring and bark like a dog. Probably top five worst moments in WWE Raw history. I think we would all agree to that. This week in history, we had that creepy moment where Goldust was looking up Roddy Piper's skirt. Obviously, the Huckster and the Nacho Man. WrestleMania, Mick Foley's ear is severed in Germany against Vader. We also had this week in history the only time that Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin fought in the ring. It was part of a handicap match, Steve Austin and The Rock versus the NWO of Hall, Nash, and Hogan. It was this week in history where Paul Heyman did commentary as part of ECW. And this is when they were first having their Bayley legal pay-per-view. This is not 2001. This is 1997. Look at Stephanie McMahon. This week in history, we were perceived that Triple H's dog was run over by a limo because of, wasn't it Chris Jericho? Wasn't Chris Jericho, didn't the dog shit in the locker room? And Stephanie told, like, Chris Jericho to bring him outside, and Chris Jericho tied him to, like, a limousine, and then the limousine backed up, and then you heard, I don't think they ever put a disclaimer up saying that no animal was hurt during this broadcast. What about Y2AJ? This week in history, Chris Jericho and AJ Styles' brief alliance ended. Chris Jericho turned on AJ Styles. And if that wasn't enough, this week in history, Goldberg, everybody's favorite these days, taking on Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship. A little bit of Price is Right history. Ox Baker on the Price is Right. I think also Brian Kendrick was on the Price is Right this week in history. I got audio clips for both moments. Austin Aries debuting for 205 Live. And this was 1 week removed from The Rock with the cheat notes. And The Rock, you know, doing those troll videos about John Cena, and he actually had one of those little fucking troll things or whatever, those gnomes, I think they are, that you put in your garden. So I don't even need to read you a synopsis. Just look at those photos, and you see how awesome this week in history is. That episode will drop tomorrow around 6 o'clock. Might drop it a little bit earlier because I got a few things to do in the afternoon, but you will definitely get that episode dropped tomorrow. All right. We'll get into a couple of match results tonight. Also, Carmelo Hayes wrestled on main event, so I'll give you some results there too. Liv Morgan was in New York City today. And honestly, it looks like Liv Morgan, but almost non-recognizable. Would that be kind of fair? Scream 6 is coming out in movie theaters. I know a lot of the hype was that Rosemary of Impact Wrestling was going to be walking the red carpet, which is cool. I'm not shitting on it. But also, Liv Morgan walked the red carpet tonight for Scream 6. And I got a late photo that I'm going to share with everyone. She looks like someone else. I can't put my finger on it. She looks like someone else. And, you know, yeah, Liv Morgan looks a lot different, you know, all dolled up and, you know, a little extra makeup. But she looks like someone else. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it was somebody in wrestling or maybe it was just an actress. But she looks like someone else. But she was put at the red carpet today. So I figured I'd show you a little picture of that. So match results tonight. We had Kevin Owens beating Solo Sikoa by disqualification to open up Raw. We had interference by Jimmy Uso, and they were going to lay out Kevin Owens on the announcer's table, but here comes Sami Zayn. He shows up, breaks up the party, and at the very end, Sami Zayn extends his hand, extends the olive branch to Kevin Owens. He wants none out of it. He walks away. A little bit later on in the night, Sami Zayn bumps into Kevin Owens in the back, and Sami Zayn is like, look, you know, I was in the bloodline. Yeah, I remember. I remember all the things that you did. And Sami Zayn is like, look, you know, we can't take down the bloodline by ourselves. But together, we don't need the team. We don't need to ride together. We don't need to be friends. But us together, we could take down the bloodline. Kevin Owens is not interested. That's why Cody Rhodes came to the save to close out Raw tonight, because we're not at that moment yet where Kevin Owens caves in and realigns with Sami Zayn. Not just yet. Friday will probably be the day that it happens, if not next Monday at the latest. Because as we said on last night's show, by next Friday, they got to do a contract signing if they decide to do one in the ring for that match at WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley, I have a feeling we're going to find out that his segment with Bray Wyatt tonight was cut from the show because of John Cena going long also. Early on, Bobby Lashley is just looking at the camera, and he said that Bray is not a man. He showed up on SmackDown to meet him face-to-face, to face him like a man, and instead he sends some guy wearing a mask, you know, to the ring. And Bobby Lashley just says, you're like, what is it going to take for you to face me man to man? And we see that logo flash on the screen. You know, unfortunately by now, you know, I don't think it has the effect that it used to. It didn't faze Bobby Lashley at all. But we really didn't get, you know, much progression on that. So my assumption is Friday will be the day. Friday will be the day that this really takes an advancement. Carmella with a backstage promo. She complains about Adam Pearce. She almost hints the same match that we complained about right before Elimination Chamber. She thinks that the match that she had against Bianca Belair should have been that if she wins, she gets into the WrestleMania main event. It almost felt like, oh, if Bayley and Becky Lynch, one of them win, they get to put in the Elimination Chamber for a possible opportunity to. So Chelsea Green shows up. And they mutually complain about Adam Pearce. And it was funny because Adam Pearce shows up and he hears them talking about him, calling him a dumpster fire, and he just turns around and walks the other way. They don't even know that he was there. But Chelsea Green forming that alliance with Carmella, which is something that we talked about for a while, and I like it. And later on, we had Bianca Belair beat Carmella. Chelsea Green was at ringside after the match was over. Chelsea Green goes to attack Bianca Belair. Asuka makes the save. And it was funny in slow motion. Asuka had the mist. She goes to spit it in the face of Carmella. Carmella moves out of dodge. And in slow motion, she spits the mist in the face of Chelsea Green. And if you looked at it, you know, of course you don't want Chelsea Green. It's just water and food coloring. But honestly, who the fuck wants someone spit in their eye ducts? Did you see the controversy that came out about masks, that it didn't prevent COVID? That they came out with some major studies with hundreds of thousands of people that the masks did not prevent COVID because you could still get COVID through your eye ducts. If you have germs on your hands, like washing your hands was probably the best way to combat it. And of course, you don't want to be in somebody's face. So I'm sure Chelsea Green just doesn't want saliva and a bunch of food coloring sprayed in her eyes. But when they did it in slow motion, you know, you see Asuka spitting the mist and you see Chelsea Green go like this. And then she's like, She closed her eyes, I think, a little bit early. But it was funny to watch it on the replay. So next week, we get Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green. Look, Chelsea Green, it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while. But there's no denying Chelsea Green and Carmella as a team, tremendous, tremendous. Because their annoyances as a cohesive unit, you know, they're listen, I'm not throwing shade on Carmella. I definitely, you know, appreciate what she does, and she's great at what she does. She's not the most polished wrestler out there, and she never will be. But I think, you know, them splitting the amount of time in the ring, splitting the amount of time in the segments, bouncing off of each other, you know, would it be like, reminiscent of teams from yesteryear, you know, like think about Michelle McCool and Layla. Was that the name? Like, I'm not saying that they would be as good as them. Not saying that at all. But they were annoying. You know, even think of what's the tag team that recently left? Billy Kay and the other one. I'm drawing fucking a blank right now. I always wanted to, you know, like, erase them from my memory. Laycool. The Iconics, yes. The Inspiration. You know, they could be something like that. They might be like a little bit of a better version of the Iconics. Peyton Royce is excellent. Billy Kay was the one that always needed, you know, more improvement. And Billy Kay, you know, actually did. She actually, I think, fire was lit a little bit extra under her ass when they were let go. But they could be like a combination of Laycool and the Iconics, you know, because that annoyingness. And Chelsea Green actually could work. Carmella's not that bad, you know? So, all right. Piper Niven over Nikki Cross. Not much there. We had, which I thought was a really stupid segment, Elias and Rick Boogs in the back. And Elias basically tells, like, Rick Boogs to go up to Bronson Reed, challenge him to a fight. And then somehow it ends up that, you know, the challenge was made towards Elias, and next week Elias is going to take on Bronson Reed. He's probably going to get squashed like a grape. And I don't know, I just, that segment tonight, if you're going to kill a segment, I would have killed that. You could have put that on WWE's Twitter account, like, oh, during Raw tonight, this happened. You know, I don't think that was needed for television. It was not very good. We also had Finn Balor taking on Johnny Gargano, Shades of NXT TakeOver. And it was an excellent match. Judgment Day is at ringside. And towards the end of the match, follow me and you'll see why this worked beautifully. Johnny Gargano takes out Dominic Mysterio. No Rey tonight, but it wasn't needed. But Johnny Gargano takes out briefly Dominic Mysterio at ringside. So Finn Balor then gets the upper hand, lays out Johnny Gargano, drop kicks him into the corner turnbuckle, and Finn Balor climbs the turnbuckle, I guess, do the coup de grace. So soon as that happens, Edge's music hits. So now Dominic is laid out. So Dominic still hasn't come, you know, back to his senses. Soon as Edge's music hits, Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest go up the rampway. And they're standing on the rampway like, all right, yeah, I dare you to try to run down to the ring. Problem is, Edge came in from the crowd. So while Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley are all the way up the rampway, here comes Edge. Finn Balor was still on the rope. You kind of feel bad with Finn Balor and, you know, the corner ropes. Remember what happened with Roman Reigns? But Edge knocks him off the rope. And Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, they're going back down to ringside. And unfortunately, it was too late. Johnny Gargano with the one final beat, he beats Finn Balor. Later on, Edge is in the back with Kathy Kelly, and Edge makes a challenge for Finn Balor. Show up next week. He's got a challenge for him, and he wants to see if Finn Balor has the stones to meet him in the ring face to face. Now, at the end of the night, it was Kevin Patrick. He's the one that fucked it up. At the end of the night, you know, they showed the graphic, like, Finn Balor, is he going to, you know, answer Edge's challenge to see him face to face next week? And Kevin Patrick was like, will Edge accept Finn Balor's challenge for the match at WrestleMania? Will it? And I'm like, oh, you know, like, not only did he butcher it, but it's like, I don't think it was supposed to go that far yet, but it was Edge who issued the challenge. See if Finn has the balls to show up next week. We had another dumb segment, the Maximum Male Models, talking about how much potential Otis has. And Otis is shown in the background with Chad Gable, and Chad Gable's doing the Hulk Hogan pose, you know, like flexing and doing this. And Baron Corbin shows up. And it was funny because Baron Corbin thinks that the Maximum Male Models are talking about him, about having potential. And as Baron Corbin is talking, Massey is like, ew. Listen, I know the gimmick is awful, but their shit tonight was funny. And Corbin, you know, he's been on down on his luck. So Maxine Dupri says to Baron Corbin, if you could take out Chad Gable tonight, the ugly one, then, you know, maybe we'll consider, you know, being your client. So Chad Gable ends his losing streak. Chad Gable has had a pretty big losing streak, if you haven't noticed. He beats Baron Corbin tonight. So Baron Corbin, the fall continues. Is he going to fall to the point where we start feeling bad for Corbin? And will they do the opposite of what they did last time? We thought Happy Corbin was going to be a babyface when he started winning again, and instead they kept him as a heel. So it's like the fans didn't want to connect to Corbin. I don't know if you can even do that with him. What other matches went down tonight? What other matches went down? I'm looking. We did find out that Becky G is going to sing America the Beautiful to open up WrestleMania Night 1. We don't know who's going to sing for WrestleMania Night 2. And they also announced King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring will go down on Saturday, May 27th in Saudi Arabia. For everybody that's making a big deal that it's the night before AEW's Double or Nothing, you know, again, for the majority of fans out there, they watch WWE pay-per-views through Peacock. So or the WWE Network, they don't pay $60 anymore. There's a very, 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 very tiny group of people that still do. So the majority of people out there, it's not that WWE is going to take away buy rates from AEW because people have to choose, do I pay for WWE or do I pay for AEW? That argument is long gone, honestly. I mean, sure, you know, $10 is still $10, but, you know, that really is not an argument anymore. So there was something else that happened tonight. I thought it was pretty damn stupid. Oh, it actually wasn't stupid, but Omos, Dolph Ziggler. I like the repackaging of Mustafa Ali. You know, and him at ringside, we love Dolph. Of course he's going to turn on Dolph Ziggler, but he's the one that put Dolph Ziggler in a match against Omos. Omos beats Dolph Ziggler in about 30 seconds. After the match is over, MVP gets on the mic, and MVP says, Brock, you wanted me to hype the match? This is all you needed to see. Here's your hype. Omos squashed Dolph Ziggler in about 30 seconds. And, you know, again, I thought Corey Graves, and I know a lot of you out there don't like Corey Graves, but Corey Graves brought up a valid point. You know, Omos versus Brock Lesnar is not, you know, like a match that isn't like directed towards, you know, regular wrestling fans, or, you know, it's more of because it's the spectacle of WrestleMania, that it's two giants going at it. And, you know, this could give a nice boost to Omos. Do I think Omos is going to beat Brock Lesnar? No. But, you know, he put on a good performance against Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, Omos, at some point, you know, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. After the match against Braun, I think he has earned the right for us to at least look at it with an open mind. Did I want Brock versus Omos at Mania? No. No, not at all. But this is what we're given. We're going to have 15-plus matches between the two nights. I mean, this might be one of the early matches on the shows. I wouldn't even be surprised if it opens up one of the nights of WrestleMania. And Brock, 3-minute match, out of there, made his appearance, two behemoths going at it, and, you know, that's what it's designed for. You know, this isn't like storyline building. It's not about, you know, it's just two giants facing each other. It's an attraction. Brock Lesnar is going to be at Mania. That's it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. So, I think that pretty much was your episode of Raw tonight. Next week, Bronson Reed versus Elias, Chelsea Green versus Bianca. Finn Balor will answer Edge's challenge. And obviously, we are going to get the continuation of the build between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Don't know if Roman Reigns will be on Raw next week, but I think Brock Lesnar will be back. John Cena, I don't know if he'll be there 2 weeks in a row. But especially that they were in Boston, that's why they brought him tonight. And again, everything that went down tonight really, really gave a nice boost for WrestleMania. So I'm a little surprised. We ended up talking about Raw for almost an hour. I mean, we also discussed a few other things, but all right, check this out. A couple of ratings tidbits. And by the way, today was D-Day for MLW at the court. Take note of all the cake and ice cream crew that ignored it today because they don't want to throw shade towards Court Bauer. But today was D-Day for Court Bauer. Tomorrow I will know if he actually filed the appeal in court. I don't think that they were going to give him a continuation, you know, in the legal system. And that's why I talk a little bit additional about the legal process, even when we talked about Sonya Deville on Saturday and we talked about Graves' law and everything. When you get the right to an appeal, a loss in court, you can't keep extending the appeal. You know, in some cases you can, but something like this, no, you lost because of these reasons and you have 21 days to tell a court why we should keep it going. And you don't, after 21 days, on the last day, say, I need more time. You don't do that. And you can't give the court a reason why you need an extension to give a reason why the court should. So today was D-Day for MLW. We'll see if they filed the extension. If they did, then the case continues. But I, as far as I know so far, no extension was filed. They pretty much, they rolled the dice. And props to all of you out there who did watch On Patrol Live this weekend and noticed we're the only people out there that actually reported that MLW, all their ads were pulled from On Patrol Live. And that was the show where they were getting the most plugs for MLW. Their entire advertising reels pulled MLW from On Patrol Live. There was no advertising this weekend. Zero. Goose egg. 2 weeks ago, there was 6 to 8 advertisements a night. 6 to 8. This weekend, zero. All right, let's get in some wrestling ratings news. Some interesting highs and lows over the last week that I want to share with you. First of all, let's talk about Raw last week. Raw last week did 1,768,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior of 2,600,000. 240,000 viewership drop. You know, now, of course, we're a couple of weeks removed from Elimination Chamber. You expected a little bit of a drop. Can't blame it on, you know, the usual reasons, but the highest rated segment last week was the MVP Brock Lesnar confrontation. That did 1,965,000 viewers. You're going to find this very, very interesting. The low point of Raw last week was the first half of Damage Control versus Becky Lynch and Lita for the tag titles. Now, why do I bring up the first half? Because this was quarter number 7. Quarter number 8, which is notoriously the lowest quarter of the night, that quarter went up about 20,000+ viewers. Slight. But here's where it gets interesting. Do you know that the beginning of their match, we had almost 160,000 fans turn off Raw? Damage Control versus Lita and Becky Lynch. As they're coming down to the ring and starting their match, 160,000 fans turned off Raw. Changed the channel, turned the TV off. Kid you not. Do the research and you'll see it. That is not a good sign. I mean, sure, I don't think most of us expected a title change last week, but a lot of us thought that Trish Stratus was going to appear. We talked about it for 2 weeks that it was going to lead to that. But still, the fact that Lita was returning to the ring, and they had 160,000 fans turn the TV off at that point. No joke. MLW last week, as we talked about before, they only did 50,000 viewers, almost half of what they drew the prior week of 97,000 viewers. And now the fact that they got no plugs on Patrol Live, that number, you know, is gonna could be even worse going forward. And remember, they only have 5 weeks left of TV. You know, people could say what they want online, but now we're finding out MLW only signed a 10-week deal with Rios. Think about all the fucking plugs. Oh, MLW, their future, 10 fucking weeks. That's like a mini series. That's like going to a restaurant and you go there and you have two appetizers and that's it. It's over. I mean, it wasn't even a long-term deal. And this AEW All Access is only 6 episodes. So we're giving all this crazy hype to things that aren't even going to last 3 months. So, all right. Also last week, NXT. Not very good either. 555,000 viewers, down from the week before is 589. Now, tomorrow we have NXT Roadblock. We did predictions last week. NXT Roadblock should be a really fun show. Mako Satomura, and Roxanne Perez, I think actually will pop a decent rating because, believe it or not, their involvement last week on NXT and also Tiffany Stratton versus Katana Chance, Sol Ruka versus Electra Lopez, that quarter was all women wrestling. That was the highest segment of NXT last week. NXT, friends, if you feel that NXT is focusing a lot more on women lately than anything else, you are right. And there's reasons behind it. That was the highest quarter last week. It did 589,000 viewers. The lowest quarter of last week, the lowest segment, believe it or not, Tyler Bate versus Carmelo Hayes. It only did 478,000 viewers. And it wasn't even close. It was by far the lowest segment on NXT last week. I don't think it's necessarily Carmelo Hayes. I just think that fans in droves are just, they haven't clicked with Tyler Bate. Tyler Bate is uber talented, but he hasn't clicked like Ilya has clicked with a lot of fans. They main evented last week, and that was the worst segment. Not even close. AEW Dynamite last week did 833,000 viewers, down from the week prior's 1,028,000. Now, Wednesday, we will reveal the winner of the Gigi Dolin signed pictures. Last week's high point for Dynamite, and we always exclude quarter one because it'll lead in for the Big Bang Theory, but believe it or not, the second half of the ladder match and the confrontation with Wardlow, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs, remember, because they had a little bit of a stare down too, that segment did 894,000 viewers. The lowest part of Dynamite last week, the lowest segment, was the second half of the Casino Battle Royale and the MJF Bryan Danielson confrontation. Believe it or not, that only did 736,000 viewers. I kid you not. I think that placement with Danielson and MJF was probably a big mistake. Probably should have opened hour two, or you do the Casino Battle Royale a little bit earlier, especially with the way it ended up. You know, nothing against Orange Cassidy and Danhausen, but, you know, wasn't a ratings hit. And honestly, that match was a hot mess, let's be honest. New Japan last week did only 47,000 viewers. That is up slightly from the week prior's 41,000. Impact Wrestling did 96,000. That is up from the week prior's 87,000. Rampage this past Friday did 394,000. That is down from the week prior's 409,000. not this past Rampage, but the one before, the highest segment of the night was the Elite House of Black confrontation and Tony Storm versus Willow Nightingale. So props to them. They did 422,000 viewers. The lowest segment of Rampage was Action Andretti versus Sammy Guevara. It only did 379,000 viewers. And finally, SmackDown last week did 2,451,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior as 2,408. The week prior, because SmackDown only happened Friday, so we don't have the quarter-hour breakdowns. Those always have to wait an extra week. But the week prior's high quarter, high point in the night, the Charlotte Flair-Dominic Mysterio confrontation, that promo exchange with Rhea Ripley towards the end of it. That segment did 2,526,000 viewers. The lowest segment of the night, Rey Mysterio versus Karrion Kross, did 2,332,000. Now, to be honest with you, that's not that bad. Because if you look at SmackDown's show, the rating was pretty consistent the entire show. You didn't have any big peaks. You didn't have any huge drops. So even though Cross and Ray was the lowest of the night, wasn't that low. So SmackDown, out of everybody, SmackDown does the best job of maintaining their audience throughout the night. Yes, 2 hours is definitely a big part of it compared to Raw's 3 hours. But out of all the shows that we just talked about, SmackDown does the best job maintaining their viewers. They do a spectacular job with that. All right. One last thing before we start taking it home. And I got to give a special super shout out to somebody in a moment. Ronda Rousey. This past Friday on SmackDown, they were teasing an arm injury. And as a result, we didn't get the tag match between her and Shayna Baszler versus Natty and Tegan Nox. Instead, we had a one-on-one with Tegan Nox and Shayna Baszler. Ronda Rousey had apparently a strain, muscle strain. And they don't want to take any chances of her aggravating it further going into WrestleMania. So since the match wasn't a top priority for SmackDown last week, they decided to change it to a one-on-one. Listen, we talked about it on Saturday. When you watch the end of it, and Shayna Baszler is not breaking the hold on Tegan Nox, and Tegan Nox is writhing in pain, and they still quickly cut to the back, that should have given you an idea that the SmackDown wasn't really, they didn't really care that much about that segment. So, all right. I want to give a special shout out to Misfit Thor. Thank you for the 5 spots. So thankful for your show. My family's been without power for 4 days. Jesus, because of the storms in southern Kentucky. Keep up the good work. I had no idea that that shit was going on. Kentucky. I know there were storms like in Texas. There was a little bit of worries that it was going to come this way. I think there was some tornadoes that went on. But man, 4 days without power. I give you props, man, that you know you got power for the phones and everything. I mean, I'm sure in that neck of the woods, you got like big battery backups and generators and stuff. I mean, my dad has a generator and he's got these crazy battery backups. And I'm sure some of you out there are admitting of doing this. Like, even though you have power, sometimes you just, for the hell of it, you like will connect to like an external like battery just to see like how long you could run something. No joke, I have an external battery connected to all of this. So if I got a power outage, I mean, if my as long as my internet doesn't go out, if the power went out, as long as I had internet, I could still continue the show for probably at least another half an hour. I have a battery backup for my mixer. I got it for the computer. I got it for everything. So that's why, thank God, we have not had any incidents. If anybody goes back with me 15, 20 years, especially in the Minority Report days, how many times are we doing a show and then you get the blue screen of death? And then because, you know, I don't have an autosave, like my computer reboots and the show is lost. We had at least a dozen times where we lost the show because I got the blue screen of death. And when the computer rebooted, the audio was gone. So Misfit says 80,000 homes were without power. Jesus. Wow. Wow. Hopefully the worst is over. I guess, you know, I don't know what the temperature is like over there, but hopefully it's not like bitter cold. I don't think it is. You're probably like 50s and 60s, which is still cold. But yeah, man, don't kill all your battery for the shows over here. Like, I'm not going anywhere, so you could always check this out on the replay. But you know what? I appreciate it because, you know, checking out shows is a nice escape from everyday bullshit. Believe me, I do tune into some other people's podcasts out there, you know, to give me an escape. You know, I certainly don't watch my shit back. You know, sometimes I'll do it to just, like, evaluate things. But thank you for that, Misfit. By the way, Foco sent me this mystery box. I kid you not. And I am going to shout them out tomorrow. And you will see that they will respond with, oh, you're very welcome. They sent me a mystery box. That's not the only one. And they sent me this giant one. So I originally was going to open them tonight. But I think what we'll do is we'll open them on Saturday. And if there is something really cool in here, if there's more than one, then we'll do a giveaway on Saturday. The way this feels, I mean, this is big. So I don't know what is in here. I have not opened it. But it feels like there's multiple items. Remember, they gave us last time those multiple Bray Wyatts. We got a whole bunch of Funkos of Paul Heyman. That was from WWE. So we got two big boxes. A few people are like, oh, that's fucked up. You don't open it now. All right, I'll open the box. I honestly wasn't going to open it. You like my dog, Razorblade? Like my dog, Razorblade? Yeah, that's the Razorblade. All right, we'll open it up now because I don't want to be a dick. You know what? There's a lot of people tuning in still. Maybe we do it. If it's something good, maybe we'll do a contest now. How's this? We open one box now, and we'll do a contest. And then we'll open one box Saturday, and we'll do a contest Saturday. How's that? All right. So if you are live right now, and I know there's still a decent number of you still, if you want to be part of the contest, go to the chat room. All right. If you're not a subscriber, you could subscribe. You'll be able to get in the chat room in a matter of 20 seconds while I'm opening this thing up. So let's see what's in here. Now, yes, there is a barcode, but it doesn't say anything. It doesn't say what it is. I looked it up online. So I'm opening this up live right now. And if it's something really good, I mean, as much as I probably would want to keep it, we'll do a giveaway. So, all right, we got Styrofoam. We got Styrofoam. Hopefully it's something good. Okay. I see WWE. I'm sure you could see that. So what is... Okay. So it's only one item that I could tell you. What is this? Oh, wow. Look at this. It's the... This is huge. Holy shit, is this big. Look how big this thing is. It's the Undertaker Big Heads. You see it? Undertaker Big Heads. This fucking thing is heavy. Holy shit, is this heavy. Yes, we'll do a giveaway. Honestly, I have an Undertaker in the background. I don't need two. This thing is big. I'm going to put it right back in the box. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just close it. Hang on. I'm going to close it, and we'll do a giveaway. So, don't do it yet. Let me just put the box down. And listen, you know, I'm not going to lie. I do get complaints. Oh, and by the way, next week we're going to do the Samoa Joe TNA giveaway. I'll show it to you. Hold on. We were going to do this a while back. The box is a little, it's not that bad. How many of you ever saw this from TNA? This is a Samoa Joe. It still works. I think, what do? You snap the fingers? What do you squeeze? Oh, yeah, look.
Watch out, here comes a muscle buster. You're stronger than you look. Ah, time for the Kikina clutch. Watch out, here comes a muscle buster.
He doesn't say, oh, is catering still open? So we're going to do this giveaway next week. So we'll do a giveaway on Wednesday. So it's been sitting here. I might as well. So, and I do have a box big enough for it. So someone will win that next week. All right, so check this out. This one will wait until Saturday. Let's make it easy. All you got to do is predict what Raw's rating is going to be from tonight. Oh, and let me say this. I do get complaints off and on from people like, well, you know, why don't you do a contest for people on the archive and this and that? And yes, we will do one in, you know, where you leave a comment or something. But the reason why I do it for live, because it's very hard to timestamp comments on YouTube. And, you know, it doesn't show the exact time that somebody posts something. And that's the problem more than anything else. Like, if somebody posts something during the day, like later on, it'll say posted one day ago. How do you truly know if somebody posted it before something is revealed or not? Another thing is, and I'll just say it, everybody and their mother is doing a live stream after Raw. And the fact that people decide to spend their time here, I kind of like want to like reward them a little bit once in a while. Like, you know, like I don't mind that people will tune into other friends' podcasts. I mean, yeah, that's cool. I mean, I definitely don't want to take away anyone's viewers. But when you decide that I'm not your first choice, hey, you know, that's, you know, it is what it is. But all right, so check this out. All you have to do is predict Raw's rating. Now, before you write it, I'm going to write go in the chat. Once you see go, you have about, you know, 30 seconds to post your rating. Let me just point out a few things before you post your rating. Something to think about. Last week's Raw did 1,768,000. Sami Zayn was advertised for Raw. Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes, Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, Lita were all advertised. We did not expect, obviously, Jey Uso to turn on Sami Zayn to close it out. But tonight also, and it's probably the biggest reason than anything, John Cena made his return. Yes, we had John Cena recently on Raw. We've had him, you know, more than once last year on TV. Remember the last time we saw Vince on Raw? He introduced Cena and left. So when you think about the Raw rating, like, I'm going to give you my prediction. The week before was 2,006,000. Last week was 1,768,000. I truly think that Raw is going to be far more than 2,006,000 viewers. I'm going to give my own prediction. 2,138,000, which would be a 350,000 viewership jump. I think that would 2,137,000. Believe it or not, I think that might be low still. I think they have a very good chance of hitting 2.2 million. They had 2.2 million. That would be gigantic. But the problem is we got 3 hours of Raw. And, you know, especially the fact that the third hour is always the worst, not even close, their worst rating. The fact that they chose, which is always the worst quarter of the entire night, to have Jey Uso turn on Sammy. You obviously had to go off the air with that, but I'm kind of shocked. After 3 hours, where you know that final hour is going to be in a 1.5, 1.6 range on average, you decide to do it there. I mean, now for the next 4 days, you know, on SmackDown, why did Jey Uso, you know, turn on Sammy? Or, you know, Jey Uso makes his decision, the heartbreak. So now we probably were going to get even. Let's put it this way. Last week's SmackDown was 2,451,000. They might hit 2,007,000, 2,008,000 this Friday, especially with Roman Reigns advertised. Holy shit. All right, enough of me talking. So if you at home want to play for fun, by all means, but I'm going to now post in the chat room. Your first entry is the one I take. If you add a second entry, I got to take your first. If you delete your entry, then unfortunately you're not entered. And the person who comes closest to the Raw rating will win that giant Undertaker Foco. That is massive. That I can't believe how heavy that thing is. All right, ready? Go. All right. So there you go. So you got about 30 seconds. It should only take you 30 seconds to type it. Don't wait and think, you know, let me see what everybody else is writing. You know, write what you think it's going to be. But again, this was a spectacular episode of Raw. And I think it did a good job of maintaining their audience better throughout hour three. Putting Cena on hour two was definitely strategic because hour three is usually the low number. Plus, probably Vince McMahon was like, come on, let's go get eat. Let's go for a steak. They went out afterwards. You know what? Be cool if we found out that Austin Theory went out to dinner with John Cena and Vince McMahon. Say what you want about Vince. I want to find out that not only did Vince McMahon go out to eat with John Cena, that would be awesome if we found out. Listen, of course, you know, kayfabe, you don't want to know that Austin Theory and Cena went out to eat together. I don't think they're going to be posing for pictures. But the point is, like, if we heard, you know, the little buzz that, you know, I think that would be pretty cool. So, all right, got about 10 seconds left. So I'm going to type contest over. So once you see this in the chat, not only is the contest over, but the show will be over. So, all right. As far as AEW Revolution goes, I will comment about it on Wednesday. I will also comment Wednesday about the incident with MJF and the fan. If you go to my Twitter, at DonTonyD, you will see a large portion of how I feel about it already. And probably you'd be interested in see what I said about it. All right, so that's it. Contest is over. One last thing that I wanted to mention before we call it. Yesterday on the sit-down, we had a conversation about something. And, you know, of course I expected it on Twitter. I'm not going to get a big response because a lot of people, once they saw it was a great idea, they start posting it themselves. Like, their idea comes out of nowhere, like, hey, yo, blah, 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 blah. And I was surprised at how many emails I got today about it. And the topic has to do with the WWE Hall of Fame. We are only a couple of weeks away from WrestleMania, and no one has been announced for the Hall of Fame yet. We had some fun on Saturday about the fake news about Stacy Keibler, and who knows, maybe she ends up going in, but it was fake news. You'd be surprised how many people fell for it. But I said something yesterday, and I said that I think going forward, WWE should take a page of baseball, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NFL, NHL, whoever you want to choose. From now on, do not do an announcement every single week. Do like what Major League Baseball does. Announce, for example, Friday, 3 p.m., there'll be an online press conference. Triple H will announce the inductees for the 2023 WWE Hall of Fame. And Triple H announces every person who is going in. Do not do one a week, one a show. Do it like the professionals do. Announce all of the inductees at the same time. I think they'll do it. And listen, am I claiming to be the first person to think of this idea? No. I'm sure others have thought of this idea before. But I did find it funny of some people out there who I know tune into my show on a regular basis. And I saw them on social media today. I counted at least eight of them, where people were talking like, I can't believe they haven't announced them in the Hall of Fame. You know, I was thinking, I got this idea that maybe WWE should announce them all at the same time, like baseball. And I'm like, man, you know, like, I hate to bring his name up, but if Jason Solomonster would have posted that online, I would have had a bunch of people going on my show and saying, oh, well, DT, Jason brought up that idea already. But when it comes to me, no love whatsoever. Like, people don't say, hey, you know what? I was checking out Don Tony yesterday. Don Tony had a good idea, blah, 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 blah. No, it's like, oh, they have an idea. I find it cute, but at the same time, though, you know, it's like, oh, whatever, whatever. So, let me know what you think about that idea. I think that's the way they should go from now on. Start doing it every year. Press release. I think Friday afternoons are great. I think they could lead into SmackDown later on, as Triple H announced earlier today that the following inductees are put in WWE Hall of Fame. And you listen, they could have graphics already. They could have a little video package if they want to turn it into a half-hour deal. I don't even think you need to do video packages. I think they just prepared a graphic, and they announce each inductee, and you just show a picture of them on the screen. If you want to do like a 2-3 sentence synopsis about their highlights of their career, you could do that. But I think WWE should seriously do that from now on. So, all right. I'm going to jet out of here. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. So if you enjoyed it, you know what to do. And big shout out to everyone. As always, thank you for the support. Makes what I do that much more fun. Like I said earlier, talking about the bloodline and, you know, people in wrestling, even Ali earlier today. You could sense when someone is having fun at what they do. And I think it just makes the experience of what we are watching that much better. Tell me it doesn't feel right now that the climate is not necessarily social media, but as far as wrestlers go in AEW, in WWE, even Impact Wrestling, tell me that it doesn't seem like people are just having a much better time, seem to be having a lot more fun, you know. That's why when you read these reports, oh, several WWE stars are very, very upset that they're not getting an opportunity at WrestleMania. Yeah, no fucking shit. That's been going on since the 80s. That's not even news. Like, why even throw shade like that? So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. I will talk to you all soon. And you all take care. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Just follow my voice. You don't really have a choice. And pull up your pants and do the Muscle Man dance. Now wiggle your behind.
Erase your mind.